Years ago, my father told me that he always took a long walk on arriving in a new city. He said it's the only way to get a sense of where you are. Totally different from taking a bus or driving a car around. It's advice I've always taken to heart. It's advice Jeff Nicholson gives, too, in his new book, The Lost Art of Walking. Nicholson is himself an avid walker, on the order of 2 or 3 miles a day, which he does partly for fitness, but mostly as a way of exploring his local environment.
I've always enjoyed it, and I've always done it. I've only recently started to think about exactly how much I enjoy it and quite what it means to me. That kind of tied in with moving to LA, where allegedly nobody walks, and it's pretty much true. I arrived in LA from New York and before that London, and there were cities where I'd walked just as part of my everyday life. And when I got to LA, walking was clearly a separate activity, a special activity.
You have to go find places to walk, don't you? It's not a city that has sidewalks everywhere.
Not everywhere. Laurel Canyon Drive, Laurel Canyon Boulevard, it's sort of a very steep hill. And it is just a nightmare. I set myself this task that I thought I might try to walk down every street in Hollywood. The beauty of the idea evaporated fairly quickly. But, you know, it's a steep hill with blind corners and, as you say, no sidewalks. And it's not simply that, you know, you're walking in dangerous traffic very close to it. It's the fact that no one expects you to be there. No one is going to turn their car around the corner and have it in mind, oh, there'll be some idiot walking there. And I do actually quite like that. I mean, I'm inherently a trespasser. I quite like to walk where I'm not supposed to walk.
Of course, there's another kind of walker that you write a little bit about. You ran across some artists, Mudman, for instance, for whom walking is a kind of sculpture, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, Mudman is this rather wonderful guy. I mean, he's an artist called Kim Jones, and he has quite an interesting background. He's a Vietnam vet, and his persona of Mudman covers himself in mud and twigs and kind of bits of latex and walks. And from talking to him, he says, you know, he likes to walk when no one is expecting him to walk. He's done some walks around the Vietnam Memorial, for instance. But one of his famous walks is along the whole length of Wilshire Boulevard in L.A., which is about 17, 18 miles. And, you know, he has the kind of adventures that you would imagine he would have. You know, he meets a cop, and the cop leaves him alone. The cop's kind of interested, you know, and he needs to use the bathroom, so he goes into a gas station. And, you know, perhaps not that surprisingly, the guy running the gas station is a bit reluctant to let this guy covered in mud and twigs into the bathroom. And then the great climax of it is that he meets some old lady who, you know, who isn't outraged or isn't offended by this more or less naked man. But she says to him, "Does your mother know you're doing this?" And I rather imagine that Kim Jones's mother didn't know that he was doing it, and she would probably be as appalled as the old lady.
There are also people like Captain Barkley that you write about,
well, yeah,
who was obsessive, but also extraordinary.
I mean, Captain Barkley was one of these 18th century British people. He's actually kind of Anglo-Scottish, of the kind of people that, you know, just don't seem to exist anymore. He was rich. He inherited a fortune, but he seemed to need to put it at risk by betting on himself to be able to perform these extraordinary feats. And, you know, if you read his accounts of what he did before he got super famous, you know, he'd walk across the length of Scotland. And if you just look at the times, you know, he averaged 7, 8 miles an hour. And that just seems like, even if you were running, that would be extraordinary. But I just can't imagine how, once you're hitting that kind of speed, it's not going to look like walking anymore. But, I mean, his big feat, which in fact has been emulated since, but once one person has done it, it seems kind of done to me. And you've got to think about this. He walked 1,000 miles. He walked 1 mile per hour for 1,000 hours. I mean, I've tried to do it. I did it for about 15 hours. So, I mean, basically, in each hour, you're walking for about 20 minutes, depending on what speed you walk. I mean, I'm pretty much a 3-mile-an-hour kind of a guy. So you walk this mile, you walk the mile, that's taken care of 20 minutes. And then, you know, you sit around twiddling your thumbs for 40 minutes.
Did you ever come up with a system of walking that is particularly appealing to you?
Well, I don't know if we want to talk about the psychogeographers. These are a bunch of crazed Frenchmen at the beginning of the 20th century, middle of the 20th century. They would try to make life difficult for themselves by, you know, for example, you get to the end of the street, you can go two ways. You know, you toss a coin to decide whether you go left or right as a way of kind of getting rid of any kind of personal responsibility. And there are various, you know, people who walk out shapes on the city, every street within a circle of 1 mile, or spelling out letters. There's a book by Paul Auster, part of the New York trilogy, where there's a character who wanders the streets and he spells out, but he doesn't quite spell out the name of God. And I simultaneously find this very attractive. I'm quite drawn to it. But at the same time, I feel it's kind of absurd. But I was in New York and I happened to be looking at the streets of the West Village. And I could see pretty clearly on the map that there was the shape of a martini glass. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be amusing or something to get down there and walk these streets that made the shape and, you know, at each corner or wherever appropriate, stop and have a martini. And the thing about why this kind of failed was that unless you're God, unless you've got God up there watching you, seeing what route you're taking, you don't feel as though you're actually doing the enterprise that you are. On the ground, the streets didn't look remotely like the shape of a martini glass. They were just streets.
Although if you really did stop and have a martini at every turning, I would imagine that many things began to look like a martini glass.
Well, many things began to look like... many things would have begun to look a little blurred.
Was there, in your experience, something approaching the perfect walk, a walk you wouldn't have missed for the world?
You know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. At a certain point when I was trying to write the book, I thought maybe that was the gimmick or the MacGuffin, you know, in search of the perfect walk. And the more I think about it, the more I think there isn't. And various people, readers and interviewers have asked me to recommend a perfect walk for them. And to sort of quote Lao Tzu, who says a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I mean, the perfect walk begins with a single step. And it starts where you are. You know, you don't have to go to Death Valley or you don't have to go to Yosemite National Park to start your walking. Start where you are, wherever you happen to be, and keep walking until you get lost, I think. Don't get completely lost. Don't get so lost that you can never find your way back again. But the perfect walk is the one where you get lost but return.
Jeff Nicholson is the author of The Lost Art of Walking, the history, science, and literature of pedestrianism.